Hello, everyone, and welcome to the LFC Roundtable Podcast. This is the podcast where we break down everything from the feeds. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Brent. How are you doing, Brent?
I am rested from our podcast earlier today, Taryn, and I am ready to go.
All right. Also with me is Melissa. How's it going?
I'm good. I feel like last time we talked, there wasn't that much exciting stuff going on, and I really was kind of down on things, and I feel like things have turned around. I feel a renewed interest in everything that's going on because I feel like people are playing and some people are playing that we thought weren't maybe playing, and that's really exciting to me. So, yes.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was because I feel like last week I was expecting people to be a lot more down on the season, and then Tom became HOH and it kind of became exciting again. And I was like, okay, so, but this week people are going to be like upset about the things. And then Tom became HOH again, and then it got exciting again. So.
Yes. You can never predict when it's going to be exciting or not.
Yes. I think we're having a little bit of lag on the video. Hopefully the audio is fine. If the chat wants to let me know that the audio is fine. Not sure if I can fix the video as we do this, but we'll see as we go. But we are here live to argue about everything that's happening on the Big Brother Celebrity 2 live feeds. We are live on YouTube, even if there's a little bit of a video lag here. I apologize, but we're here. We're here. We're going to do this. It's okay. Going to be fine. So let's talk about the week in Big Brother. We have an interesting week. We saw Joey be evicted in a vote of 6-0, which is interesting because we all expected Joey to stay.
Right. I was not expecting that. That was a total upset for me because not that I was upset about it, but that it was an upset from what I thought was going to happen. I really thought Candy was going home, Joey was staying, and he was going to team up with No Licky, and just that was the season. And lo and behold, it all changed and Candy stayed. And I am honestly so glad that she stayed. At the time, I was like, yeah, but Joey's playing, like, you know, I can respect that. Candy, she's not really doing anything, but Candy this week has, oh my God, she's turned it around. And honestly, I think she's playing the best game out of the whole house. And I think that she has the best reads on the situation better than anyone else, which, like, I had no idea she had it in her. So very, very exciting. Yes. I don't know what's going on with Brent over here.
The chat is yelling at me that I need to comb my hair. Apparently, I forgot to comb my hair. I did forget
Brent
to comb my hair.
Picks up his phone like a beard.
I thought I looked good.
I thought it was a stylistic choice. I don't know.
Thank you. Yeah.
Brent, don't let this get to you.
Yeah. Well, this is fine. Yeah. I was really surprised that Joey went home 6-0 too. I think Joey was surprised he went home 6-0. Good gameplay on behalf of the No Licky crowd to go ahead and vote with the house. They have a little bit of standing to be able to say, hey, we saved Candy. Look what we did. You know, even though we, of course, know that's not true. And that will play into a little bit of the things that happen later on in the week.
I mean, honestly, I feel like it hurts them more than it helps them because they're acting like they have a sense of entitlement over Candy. Like, we saved you. How dare you? And I feel like that's just going to piss her off even more than if they just voted against her.
And they didn't even save her. Yeah, they didn't even save her. They had nothing to do with it. She would have stayed regardless. So they only were just jumping on the bandwagon after the fact to save their own butts.
What people do in Big Brother.
Well, yes, but the fact that they feel like that Candy owes something to them, and the fact that they're like coming up to her, like, I can't believe Candy, like, she owes us. She really should. Like, what do they expect her to do? Just lay down and die now? Like, okay, so now we saved you an extra week. Like, congratulations, you got one extra week in the house or whatever, a few extra days in the house. So now you just need to go out the door next because that was what was going to happen anyway. So goodbye. Like, no, she's still there and she's still going to play. And I'm glad that Candy's not just saying like, oh, thank you for saving me. Now I'm going to go out the door and respectfully walk out and like without making a scene. Like, no, I'm glad that she's actually playing and she's doing a good job of it.
Yeah. So I mean, ultimately, the reason Candy stays here is because Tamar decides she wants to keep her. The reason she cites most more than anything else is that she has this outside relationship with Candy. She does not want to ruin it. So Joey is going to be evicted here 6-0. And then Tamar is going to win the next HOH. And big celebration from everyone on Team Nolicky / Zen Angry Cult.
Yes, and we talked about this as well, that we wanted to see what the celebration was like for Tamar when she won HOH. We thought it was, we had heard that it was a bit much and that they really celebrated like in your face. And it was pretty, I mean, it was like that, but it was pretty par for the course as far as Big Brother celebrations go whenever one side wins HOH and the other side doesn't. It's, you know, it's not fun when you're on the losing end, Tom.
Yeah, not fun. Tamar is going to nominate Tom and Kato. This is also the week that we really got introduced to a lot of the ugliness that happened. It happened before Joey was evicted. It continued as Tamar was HOH and Kato and Tom were nominated for the block. And just a lot of bad stuff going on here. A lot of villainizing of Tom and Kato, and saying that they're threatening and misogynistic and pieces of shit and all of this crazy language here. It got ugly. It got we were talking about Big Brother 19. It was not fun.
Yeah, not fun at all. It was really hard to watch. Honestly, it got to the point where I felt like I couldn't do it. And if it was going to be keeping up the rest of the season like this, it was going to be really hard for me to keep watching the feeds. Because like, I hate that sort of stuff. I hate it, especially when it's not accurate. If it was accurate and they really were being threatening and misogynistic and all that stuff, if they're going to, that's fine. Like they can say, you're allowed to call someone that if they are being that, but they weren't. Tom and Kato, they were not threatening. I do not think they were misogynistic. I do not think any of those labels applied to them at all. I think it's, they're just trying to tear them apart and for no reason when it's really not justified. And so it wasn't fair. And I think also, I really hope that those sorts of allegations don't like follow them outside of the house because, you know, stuff like that shouldn't, especially if it's not true. I mean, we're watching the live feeds. Unless something happened on the live feeds, or unless something happened that wasn't on the live feeds, that was, you know, when the cameras were in a different room or something, then maybe that. But other than that, there's nothing that they did that could be considered any of those things. Besides, possibly when Kato was talking to Dina, he was being very condescending. Like that stuff when he was having conversations with Dina, like if anything, Dina should be saying stuff because I'd be like, okay, Kato, like you need to calm down. You're being very condescending to me right now. But other than that, I didn't see anything.
Yeah. And I think the important thing to point out here is that they're not claiming that things have happened that we didn't see. The things they are referring to are very specific and we saw all of them. So if they come out of the house and they're like, hold on though, you didn't see all of it. When the feeds were down,
No,
because when you were in the house and you were talking about all the terrible things they did, we saw all of those things and you just had a really crazy interpretation of them.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing is like, I hate when the house guests come into the house and they're like, you don't see everything that happens. It's like, we see pretty much everything that happens on the live feeds. Like that's why they're live feeds. Like that's how we see all these things. And so to go and twist the story around, which like, I'm sure they will, like, I'm sure they're going to come out of the house and just be like, you just didn't see it. You must not have seen it because it was all there and it was really mean and threatening. And I felt personally threatened. Like, oh my God. And I don't understand how people who are watching the live feeds can see that, like are seeing that same thing. I don't understand how people are, I need to say this delicately, how people are.
Welcome to my world.
I know it's like people are going to attack me for this, but I'm just saying like some people are seeing what Nolicky are seeing or Nolo or whatever, and seeing what they're seeing somehow and saying like, yeah, Tom and Kato are misogynistic. Yeah, they are aggressive. Yeah, they are racist. Like, I'm not seeing any of that. So I don't get it. I'm so confused.
You'll always find some minority of people who are going to agree with anything said in the house, especially if they are fans of this group of players. Then obviously I think they're going to feel like, hey, you know, they're right about this. You know, Lolo is being persecuted and threatened. They have betrayed somehow. Lolo. There's always a couple, and you know, you just, there's always going to be a couple.
Moving on.
Yeah. Yes. So
I hate talking about this stupid stuff. So we have more of it today.
Yes. So yeah, Lolo is going to end up winning this veto. She's not going to use it. And Kato is going to be evicted 5-0.
Tom's surprise.
Yeah. Tom thought it was going to be him. He was like, whoa.
Certainly it was going to be him. Probably should have been him. Actually, I know it should have been him based on where things are at right now. I really don't think Kato has the mental faculties to be able to do what Tom has done. Not that Tom is great at playing Big Brother. I just think that Tom plays a lot of Big Brother, and he's kind of all over the place. So Kato goes home 5-0. I think he was a little bit shocked as well, although I have read his exit interviews and he has sort of echoed Joey Lawrence a little bit in that he thinks that Tamar is running things a lot more than she is. Again, this is a non-sequestered season, so when he goes home, I'm sure he's going to be persuaded that that necessarily isn't true, but it is worthy to note that Kato, upon leaving, thought that Tamar was really running things and had a big hand in what was happening rather than anybody else. And that's also what Joey Lawrence thought as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think a large part of that has to do with the fact that Tamar was the swing vote at the Joey eviction. So she really had the power there to make the decision to go either way. And then I think also combine that with the fact that she won the power. I think that does a lot for you. I really do. I think that it indicates that the fans like you, which makes you go, well, she must be doing something right. There's something there. But I
love Mary in the chat. Mary's like, I'm sorry to interrupt. She says, Tamar is running things without knowing it. Basically kind of.
I also agree that I think that, you know, now that he's out of the house, if he gets into communication with other people who've been watching the show, and if he starts watching himself, I think that Tamar's jury management leaves a significant amount to be desired, and any credit that she might have strategically also would probably go away. And so I don't expect that this is going to matter a whole lot ultimately, but good, important to point out for the record to be stated. Tom is going to win the next HOH, and the Zen Angry Cult, as he is now dubbing them. It's Ricky, Lolo, and Natalie. They're pissed, of course, as is Tamar. I shouldn't leave Tamar out. And Tom is going to have one-on-ones with everyone. We recapped this whole thing this morning. If you want to go into more detail about what happened this morning, yesterday, then I recommend the update that we did this morning. It was quite funny. But ultimately, Tom's plan is he wants Ricky gone. He wants to keep Lolo safe. And he wants to put Ricky on the block with Lolo. Candy is like, that's kind of a dumb plan if that's what you want. And he was like, oh, you're right. That is kind of a dumb plan if that's what I want. Okay. So instead, Tom nominates Natalie and Ricky, and they're pissed. Lolo's pissed. Tamar's pissed. Everybody's pissed.
Yeah, but consider, though, that he nominated Ricky and Natalie, not with the intent for Natalie to go home. He nominated Ricky and Natalie still with the intent that his original plan go through, that Ricky go home. The only reason why he put Natalie up on the block is because Candy pointed out that if he left Natalie off the block, because Natalie was his second choice to go home by far, and she won the veto as she was off the block, she could veto Ricky, and then they're both safe, and then he would be forced to evict Lolo, which is what he doesn't want to do right now. So that's important to note, that his plan all along has never changed. Even though he did go along with Candy's suggestion, he's wanted Ricky out of the house.
Yes, and it's I think, important to understand the situation, because I think it's kind of a tricky one to wrap your head around, because Basically, for Tom's game, it probably is the best thing to get rid of Ricky. And that's because Ricky is gunning hard for Tom. Ricky wants Tom out next. He feels like once Tom is gone, they can easily beat Candy and Dina in the competitions, and that's great for them. However, Natalie really doesn't like Candy. She feels like Candy is a huge threat to win the game, and she would potentially target Candy before even Tom, because she doesn't feel like Tom can win the game. So it actually does make sense for Tom to want Ricky out, and it makes sense for Candy to want Natalie out, because Natalie wants Candy out. So it's essential that Candy get Natalie out. It's good for Tom to get Ricky out. However, Tom's reasoning for getting Ricky out and the way that he wants to go about it is incredibly dumb. What he wants to do is make a deal with Lolo and flip her against her allies, and so that he can get Ricky out, and then he can work with the women. So Tom legitimately thinks that he can get the women back on his side. He thinks, I believe, that Ricky is the cause of the women hating him, and that if he can remove Ricky from the situation, the women will stop hating him, they'll stop calling him a misogynist, and everyone will live happily ever after. That's never going to happen. He does not realize this. He does not realize that the women are the ones who are sort of originating all of this. And so, again, his reasoning is terrible and doesn't make sense. His ultimate goal does make sense on accident. I think, you know, when you're looking at the commentary of what's happening, that's, I think, why there's a little bit of confusion about, like, why are we criticizing Tom? If this is what's good for Tom, is this good for Tom? Why is he so dumb for doing this? It's hopefully that clears it up a little bit.
Well, yeah, and the reason why he thinks that is because in the beginning, Ricky was the one who didn't laugh at his jokes and called Tom a snake. All right. Well, sorry. Is that what he called him?
Yeah, prick. Sorry, a prick.
A prick. Sorry, it's not a snake. Sorry, I'm mixing up things. He called him a prick. And Tom didn't like that. And he said it with a little bit of kick behind it. And so Tom was like, yeah, you must be the person who's poisoning everybody against me, because no one else has said anything like that to Tom up until that point. And he still is convinced that Ricky's the one pulling all the strings. Again, I know everybody on Twitter is going nuts because Tom is playing too much right now. Sorry, I was reading the chat, so I don't know if you've gotten to the events of like the past few hours, but you know, Tom is thinking about using the veto because he won it, and he's thinking about doing something stupid in my eyes. But if Ricky goes home, that's still okay with me. Like, I'm totally fine with it. Ricky goes home. That's actually, if you're a Tom Green fan, that's actually better for Tom if Ricky goes home, because I do think there's a chance if he actually takes Natalie off the block and puts up like Tamar, I actually do think that Natalie might move Tom down to number two on her hit list behind Candy. However, I think what made that even more difficult is today's events when he won the veto, because now he has done the HOH veto double win thing, and like, they're gonna know they need to get this guy out. So I'm sort of torn whether or not he can do anything at this point to lessen his target or get anybody to work with him. I still feel like he has to win veto at final six to have any chance of winning the game.
Yeah, I mean, basically, again, it makes more sense for him to have Natalie in the house. I do agree that Natalie is more likely to target Candy than Ricky is heading into next week, which is why he should want her in the house. Winning the veto does not help his case. I think that he's definitely a lot more threatening. Natalie might target Tom now instead of Candy. However, it's still his best shot. And really, it doesn't even matter how he goes about it. A lot of people are like, well, he's pushing away his only allies at this point, because as Brent mentioned, Tom won the veto and he's thinking about using it on Natalie so that he can put up somebody else in her place to guarantee the votes to evict Ricky, because he knows that Candy wants Natalie gone. He knows that Dina has advocated for Natalie to go. He's worried that they might vote Natalie out against his will, which they might be able to if he does keep the nominations the same. And so what he's thinking about doing is taking Natalie off the block, replacing her potentially with Lolo, potentially with Tamar, somebody that will ensure that Ricky goes home. And really, it doesn't, to me, matter who he pisses off, because he kind of needs to win his way to the end anyway. And yep, it really is just kind of better for him if Ricky leaves. So
doesn't think that, though.
Exactly.
He thinks that these people will still work with him. He thinks that he can get Nolo to actually work with him. And Candy has tried to dissuade him of that notion. Like, no, this is personal. They're not going to work with you. This is crazy. You're an idiot if you actually think this. And I will say that this is the point in time. I'm sorry. I don't mean to. I keep jumping ahead. I'm looking at the chat. And I'm listening to you. But Candy, when Tom started bringing up the idea of possibly taking Natalie off the block and forcing everybody to do what he wants, that's when Candy said, well, people don't like threats, Tom. Like, you shouldn't do that. And she brought up the threat word. And he's like, it's not a threat. And so at this point, he's like a little kid who's like, it's not a threat. because she's so tired of people saying that.
I think she knows, like, that this is like she. So basically, what happened in this conversation is that Tom is bringing up this plan. And Candy, who worked so hard on Tom yesterday to get Natalie on the block, I think she's kind of lost her cool a little bit. She's getting kind of frustrated with Tom. Like, seriously? No, this is stupid. Natalie should be leaving. And she knows that she, this is how to push Tom's buttons, to say, look, nobody likes threats, Tom, don't be threatening. And he's like, that's not a good word, I don't like that word, because she is correct in the sense that, like, what he's doing with, he's trying to force a situation. He's not threatening to put her on the block, but he's trying to, like, force a situation where she has to vote Ricky out. And so like, she is talking about threatening in a sense, in the sense of the game. Whereas when Lola was using it, she meant it as like, it's a man threatening a woman. He's a misogynist. And so those are very different levels of threatening. And so he's like, no, don't use that word. And she's like, hey, it's the right word for what I'm talking about. And so you've got that kind of situation going on. And then, of course, Candy is going to later relay this conversation to Tamar, who definitely does use threat in the way that Tom doesn't like it being used. And she is going to start getting into an argument with Tom where she says, hey, don't start threatening people. And then the feeds are going to cut many, many times.
Many, many times. This is the point in time where I understand that these are celebrities and that you really have to watch things about. You want to protect them from themselves. I get it. You want people to come back and play Celebrity Big Brother next year. And if they look and see that all the celebrities, basically not all, but many of them, destroyed their reputations this time, then there's not going to be anybody to play next year. But even for me, it's gotten a bit much, to the point where they're just proactively, again, it's like the game show where they're just sticking the plunger down and cutting the audio for literally everything. At various points in time, they're cutting the audio and not even the video, because they just, like, they're so tired of it at this point. They're just like, oh, I just cut the audio. At least people can see them. Maybe they won't bitch then.
I literally just tweeted, like, I feel like we're being pranked, because they cut the feeds and then they're like, hold on, wait, hold, wait for the good moment. Total silence on the feeds. Go, turn them on. Silence. Yes. Oh, somebody's talking. Turn them off. It's like, that's how bad it is right now.
Yeah. It's like, I get it, but like, I understand that they need to protect the possibility of doing a season next year, and you know that people aren't going to want to do it if they come out of the house and are universally hated, or they have all this fodder for people to be mad at them online by having these videos of them doing these, like, whatever they're doing and getting in arguments and stuff. But it's like, it is frustrating. It's like, sorry, if they're going to dig their own grave, you might as well just let them do it, because I mean, that's kind of what they're doing right now. And it's so very frustrating. I felt like in the beginning that, I mean, we always knew that Lola was kind of a powder keg, and we didn't know whether she was going to, like, blow up. I mean, that's kind of just her thing. But Natalie, I'm a little surprised, because the whole time in the beginning, I was giving Natalie the benefit of the doubt and being like, well, she's just trying to, like, Lolo's her number one ally in the house. So when Lolo is talking crap about Tom and Kato, like, she needs to give her reassurance and be like, yeah, I'm on your side. I totally get it. They were being rude or whatever she's saying. But now it's like, she's doing this to herself. Natalie is just as bad as Lolo. She's talking a lot of crap about these people when it's not necessarily deserved. And it's the worst for gameplay. It boggles my mind how they're not thinking ahead. And this whole narrative of, like, the good people versus the bad people, I hate that so much. I hate it so much, because literally, I mean, it seems like every single time it happens, the people who are the self-proclaimed good guys are actually the total bad guys every time. And I just hate this thing where it's like, it's not good people versus bad people. It's not like that. It's, you're playing a game. And if you're going to sit there and make accusations and talk really poorly about people behind their backs, totally not game related, and talk personal about them, like personally, that's when you're probably the bad guy, you know, that's the case. And I just feel like Natalie and Lolo are very delusional at this point. And it's very frustrating to me to have to watch that.
I will say this, that I actually think Tom is protesting a little bit much here. I feel like he should lean into the curb a little bit here and just say, you know what? I am threatening people. It's a game, and I want what I want to happen to happen. And you guys will not vote the way I want if I have these two people up. So I'm going to make a game move, and I'm going to do what I want because it's my game to play. So if you want to call that threatening, call it threatening. But again, that's me saying it as Brent Waugamon. Saying it as Tom Green, a celebrity who's worried about his freaking reputation. But again, if this making this move isn't going to help his reputation, it's still going to be going on the same way.
But I also think that there's a difference between threatening in a game, like, hey, I'll vote you out if you don't vote this way, or like, hey, I won't work with you if you don't vote this way, versus this guy threatened me and I was scared. Like, that's a different kind of threatening. Like, this guy's aggressive and he's threatening me. Like, that's not the same thing as being like, you need to vote the way I'm going to vote or else I'm going to vote you out. Like, that's a game thing. And that's, you're sure that's a threat, but it's not a threat. And there's a difference. And
also, I know, but the problem is that it's a threat. It's a threat. Is it a threat or is it
like,
a threat?
You know that like TMZ would be salivating for, you know, he's being called a misogynist and, oh, Tom admits to threatening women people on the feeds.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what's happening on the outside. He may have like a small idea, like, okay, am I in trouble here? Like, you know, I don't know what, I'm sure they make certain considerations for celebrities. I really don't know, but I'm guessing like if something was really, really freaking terrible, like what would happen with Rachel and Angela last year with what they said, they went to them and said, hey, you might want to, because of, you know, people are talking about this and this is not good and you might want to apologize. They may have told him something, but I think that he's fine. And we know he's fine. There's nobody who seriously considers this a thing. And I feel like at this point, it's a week and a half to go or whatever, maybe a week. I'm not even sure how long there is.
We have 1 week left.
1 week to go. Yeah, just have some fun, Tom. But on the other hand, he has said the same thing. He's like, I just want my last week to be the way I want it to be. And the way he wants it to be is Ricky gone. He wants him out of there yesterday. And frankly, if you're a fan of Tom, that's fine.
Yeah, it was Tom said earlier today, like he's really been biting his tongue, like his inner shit stirrer is like really just like biting, because this guy is a professional troll. Like his whole thing is that he messes with people and he wants to do that in this house. And he has been the main source of instability in this house, despite the fact that he's trying very hard to be like, hey, I'm just a nice guy. Don't think I'm threatening. But imagine a cast that did not react this way to Tom Green, that Tom Green was actually able to be the like Tom Green instigator that actually did like mess with people. I feel like that would be so much more fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, but that's the cast we all wish for, not the cast that we have. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe I didn't even know if last year's cast would have been okay with the way Tom kind of trolls people and just messes with them. By the way, he may not even do this in the end. I mean, idle hands are the devil's workshop. And so he has this veto. He has all the power in the world. I still think Candy's going to be able to talk him down from doing anything totally stupid for his game. I want Candy to play the game. Like, she told us that she was going to lie. And now all of a sudden she's telling him the truth. Like, she's like, oh, well, Natalie's the bigger threat. I really think we should get rid of her. What she needs to say is, Tom, I will respect your wishes as the current HOH, and I will do what you want me to do. I will vote Ricky out. So will Dina. Done. Done, done, done. Put it in the bank. Done. And then once the veto ceremony comes and goes, well, I've been reconsidering
that.
I mean, like, what's wrong with that? Well, it's not like she has a final two with Tom, for God's sake. And she knows what her best move is. She has to get rid of Natalie. Natalie's coming for her. So there's no point. Why are you being honest with Tom? I mean, I know he's a nice guy, but just tell him what he needs to hear for now. Save him from himself and then make the move that you need needs to be made.
I mean, I think there are a lot of different ways that she can go about this. There should be a lot of different ways that she can convince Tom that Natalie needs to go. But this is really Candy's trial by fire here. She needs to get Natalie out of the house. This is what's really going to, be the decider. Like, is Candy the only player that can actually play the game a little bit in this? Is she the only replacement level player in this house? We will find out if she's able to get Natalie out of the house. She's risen up. She performed well yesterday. We'll see if she's able to close the deal here, as the eviction looms on Friday. But as it stands right now, we have no real vote count, because the veto hasn't even been used yet, and it might be used. It might not be used. Right now, I would assume, in my opinion, my guess is that Ricky will leave. My guess is that Tom will not be swayed, that Candy will not be able to get her way, and that Tom will have Ricky leave the house, whether or not he uses the veto. I think that's my guess as to what's going to happen here. But it could go any which way. One of the ways it could go is, hey, Candy could keep Natalie on the block. The veto doesn't get used. Then maybe she can force the situation. She can get Tamar and Dina to vote with her and have it be a 3-1 vote to evict Natalie against Tom's wishes. That could happen. We could also see it where Candy is able to flip Tom, and it could be a 3-1 vote or a 2-2 vote with Tamar voting with Lolo, and then Tom breaks the tie to evict Natalie. Or it could be unanimous to evict Natalie once they realize they don't have the votes. Those are all situations that could happen. We could also see Ricky gone unanimously when Lolo realizes, or whoever realizes, that they don't have the votes to keep Ricky. We could also see Tom use the veto and put Tamar on the block, which could result in a tie, or it could result in a unanimous vote to evict Ricky. Or we could see Lolo go on the block, which could have the same result. So many different results. My guess is that Ricky leaves. I'm not sure how it happens, but I do think he leaves. Brent, what do you think?
I want to ask you if you think there's a chance that Tamar could go home, because Tamar could go on the block and she's got a mouth on her, and she is letting people know. She's letting Tom specifically know what she thinks. I listened to her on the feeds today, what I could see on the feeds today, and she is not happy because Candy told her the plan, the potential plan, and she Tamar is just not happy with it. She's like, Tom, that's not how you threatening people again. Why are you threatening people again? That's not how we play this game. He's like, it's a game, Tamar. She's like, no, it's not a game. Not when you do it like this. You go on, Tom Green. I'm not kissing your ass. So she could go home because she doesn't know. I'm like, you're a super fan of the show. You should know. Like, he has the veto. He has the HOH. He can literally do whatever he wants. Why are you mouthing off to him? Like, again, it's like we said earlier today on the show, Tamar might accidentally bumble F her way into winning this season and getting into a good position, but she's not doing it. Like, she's not trying to do it. She just might end up there.
No, that's like, it's so funny to me to see all the fans on Twitter and stuff being like, oh, Tamar, she's acting. She's doing all this to trick Lolo and Natalie and like all this stuff. They're like, her mind. Wow. She's really working behind the scenes.
You've like, really been triggered by these fans.
I know. It literally is like, it's like very reminiscent to last season when we were all like, Haley, her mind, she's acting. She doesn't really believe JC. Like, she's not going to get Scotty out. That whole time that's what we were thinking. We were like, Haley, she's all girl. You're doing it. And then like, all of a sudden it was like, oh wait, no, she wasn't acting. She was totally fooled. That's what I feel like is going on right now with Tamar, where everyone's hoping that she's acting because they want her not to be totally schooled by and totally taken in and tricked by Natalie and Lolo. And I just honestly, I think that she wants to work with Natalie and Lolo. I don't think she's playing them. I think that she's with them, or at least she thinks she's with them, even though they would kick her out in a second. And I think that that's going to be a problem for Tamar, because Tamar's best move is honestly to just make sure she like teams up with Candy. I think her best move is to become a tight twosome with Candy, because then she's got Natalie and Lolo on one side who think that she's working with them. She's got Candy, Tom, Dean on the other side who think that she's working with them, and Ricky, obviously, but if he goes, I'm assuming he's going home. And I think that that could be a good way for both her and Candy to work both sides. And instead, I think she has absolutely no desire to work with that side of the house. And all she does is just like berate Candy for actually playing the game and doing and having good strategy. And it's just honestly, it's not. And like you said earlier, where it was like, if Tamar's really just acting mad at Candy and isn't actually mad at her, then why in the privacy of a room with Candy do you still keep up that illusion? Like, it's not an illusion anymore. It's the truth. She's mad. So it's just, I can't, it's not happening. She's not acting. I wish she was, okay. Well, but she's not.
Taryn and I are both laughing at the chat because Oxtra City says Melissa is so iconic. Ugh, her mind.
her mind.
Okay, yes. Okay, y'all, do I think that Tamar occasionally plays it up? Do I realize that she's an actress? Do I think that she's knowing that we're watching on the feeds? Yes. But she's. But yeah, I do not believe that this totally. I do not believe that this is the cause of it. Do I think that she gets a little more sassy and a little more extra and a little more shady with what she says because she knows she's on camera? Yes, but I still think that she feels the way that she feels because it's inside of her, and that's really how she feels. She's not playing a very good game right now.
All right, you have to make a guess here. Who do you think is going home on Friday, Melissa? What's your guess?
Well, I think Ricky is going home. Are we saying in addition to Ricky, or are we just saying
if you feel like Ricky's the most likely,
the first eviction,
yeah, go for it.
Oh, the first eviction, yes. Yeah, Ricky.
Yeah, I think that Natalie's going to go home. I have faith in Candy's ability. I've been standing her all day for a little part of the week, actually, and we were talking about her all today. Like she can make this happen, as you said on Twitter, Taryn. This is her ultimate test. She needs to get Natalie out of the house. She needs to find a way to make it happen. I don't think the veto ceremony. I'm not even sure when the veto ceremony is. It may be tomorrow. It also may be during the show on Friday because it is a live show on Friday.
No, because so it's a double eviction. I wouldn't.
Well, it's 2 hours, though.
It's true. It's still, though.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. Probably maybe. Not,
we don't know. We don't know. The soonest it could be is tomorrow. So she's got all tonight. It's like, what, 6 o'clock Big Brother time. So she's got all tonight and she's got part of tomorrow at least to be able to change Tom's mind here. And again, I think there is a part of Tom that's just people on Twitter were saying that, you know, Tom, as Taryn notes, is a professional troll. I think he's doing this just to make good TV that he's taught because he knows now that he has HOH and he has veto, that he has all the power and all of the quote unquote drama may be gone from the week. So maybe he's trying to inject a little bit of drama into it again. It's like with Tamar, we're trying to read his mind. I don't think that's what he's trying to do. I think he's just a nut, but I do think there's a part of him that just sort of is bored. And I to my credit, I thought this during his original week where he was HOH and I said he was bored because he kept going around trying to play murder mystery about the power. And then he wanted to backdoor Ricky and he couldn't wait to tell people his plan. So I feel like both of them, it's kind of hard to read their true feelings, but at the end of the day, I feel like they are what they are.
Yeah, and there's a very real chance that Tom backs into my original plan for him, which was nominate Tamar and Ricky and then have the women try to get Tamar evicted and then actually get Ricky gone and get Tamar.
That would be good.
And the women really mad at each other. Now that Tamar has blown up on Tom, we may see Tamar go on the block and we may see the Ricky Tamar nomination. And you should have seen the look on Natalie and Lolo and Ricky's face when Tamar walked into the room and she's like, he's putting me up. They were like, is he?
Oh,
that's terrible.
No, what? Who told you that? How reliable
we don't
is the
want
information?
That.
So I guarantee you they will try to get Dina to evict Tamar if Tamar is on the block, and all they need to do is have Dina just be like, yeah, they've been working on me forever. They really want you gone, Tamar.
Yep. Oh, I wish that Dina would play the game and let them hang themselves. I wish that she would say, yeah, I'll vote with you to evict Tamar and not tell them. That way it does come down to a 2-2 vote and let them show their true cards. Don't let them vote with the house, which is what I wanted to happen last time that we had something like this happen when Joey went home. Don't tell them the truth about what's happening. That way, no one's coming for Dina no matter what. So who cares if she plays the game a little bit? Just don't tell them. Tell them you're going to evict Tamar. Let them hang themselves and let them show their true colors. Tamar, as much as she hates Tom, she ain't going to like that. if Lolo and Natalie vote evict her and try to get Tamar evicted, she will take major offense to that.
Yeah,
I think that I can't see Dina doing that, but I could see Candy telling Dina to do it. Right. Like, I see Candy coming up with that, but I don't see Dina coming up with that.
And really what Candy should be doing is Dina told Candy all about when Lolo and Natalie went to pitch to Dina. Hey, we need you. Like, Tom sucks. He's a misogynist. We hate him. Can you believe he used Lolo's Olympic dreams against her? You should vote with us and keep Natalie in the house. And Dina was like, oh yeah, sure, totally. And then Dina went and she told Candy all about this. And so now Tom is telling Candy, I need Ricky to leave because I can work with the women. Candy has all of this information. She knows it came from Dina. Candy's telling Tom, I don't think you're right about this. I think you're misreading the situation. I don't think the women will work with you. She has credible information. She has a source of information that she can use. All she needs to do is be like, Dina, tell Tom what the women told you last night. And Dina will be like, they said you sucked and that they wanted you gone and that you're misogynist and blah, 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 blah. And I feel like that might get it through his thick skull that these women are never going to work with him. And that might allow Candy to get her way.
Yes, yep. That would be, yeah. Honestly, with Candy, I've been super impressed because also, like, we have to understand that this is a smush season. So I think that if this were a normal length season, we would be really impressed with Candy because, I mean, we always say, okay, you go to sleep for the first half of the game and then wake up in the second half and really, you know, strategize and take control, blah, blah, blah. And that's exactly what she's doing. And unfortunately, because this is such a smush season, we were like, TikTok, Candy, you're not doing anything. But really, if this was a normal season, we would have been like, no, keep laying low. You're doing a good job. So I think I'm really impressed with her. If I'm being totally honest, I'm really impressed with Candy.
Yeah, we did learn, and we mentioned this on the update this morning, that when she entered the game, she wasn't exactly at, tip top shape. The reason we found out that she went on the block the first week and nearly went home was because she just straight up told Jonathan and Ryan that she wanted Jonathan out and that she was going to vote to evict him. And that's why ultimately we saw Candy go on the block and really, you know, she learned her lesson from that. So she learned, but she, yeah. You know, that's the right thing to do, but not necessarily the right thing to do at first.
Just to be in respect again to what Tom's thinking insofar as what he's thinking about Ricky, he says these two things from the feeds. This is like an hour and a half, 2 hours ago. He says he's talking to Candy and Tom says, at some point, are they going to stop listening to Ricky? Again, totally convinced that Ricky's the one pulling the strings. He says, it's not really working out too well for them, is it? And then he says later, wouldn't it be nice to have a week of fun and win? Candy says, don't you want a week of fun with your best chance of winning? Tom says, I think this is your best chance of winning. Candy says, you're not listening to me. Tom says, there is more than one game being played here, which to me indicates not just that he's thinking about the game overall, but that he really is concerned about his reputation and what these people are saying about him in the house. And he thinks that Ricky is the cause of that. So as long as he thinks that, there's really no changing his mind on this.
Yeah, I agree. So that's what's been going on in the house. The current state of the house here. The alliances are very slim pickings here. We got, as I mentioned, Tom has coined them the Zen Angry Cult, or Zach for short. This is No Licky, Natalie, Lolo, and Ricky. And he's just like, they're so mad at me. Why are they so mad at me? Because I want to play the game also?
Because you're too good, Tom, because you're winning competitions and they're not getting their way. They're allowed to be mad. Like, I mean, I know that they have been a bit much. I get that. But they're allowed to be mad and pissy that you won. Like, not everybody's like you, Tom. Like, I don't like to lose. When I lose, I get pissy that I lost. Like, they're kind of like me.
Yeah. So these three, they have Tamar essentially like doing their bidding at the moment. She wants to please them. We'll see how long that lasts, but it does seem like she is attached to this trio. She is working for them at the moment. And so that is important to know. We then have no real other alliances, just some duos here and there. Candy and Dina are working together to a decent extent here. Candy and Tamar are kind of working together, but also is mostly just Tamar yelling at Candy. And I think that Tamar wants to take Candy to the final two because she thinks she can beat Candy, but she can't. And Candy's like, I'm trying to deal with this because it would be great to sit next to Tamar in the final two. You've also got Natalie and Lolo, of course, as a duo within the Zen Angry Cult. And then, of course, Candy and Tom are kind of halfway working together, mostly out of necessity, mostly just Candy trying to get Tom to do what she wants. Not a real duo, but there's something here. And that's really all there is in the house. Yep. Nothing else.
Not a lot happening in terms of alliances and deals making. It's No Licky and everybody else. So here we are.
So let's get to the Stockwatch. You guys ready for the Stockwatch?
Oh yeah.
Yes. Trent, I am not talking about the BB Hive Fire Festival cruise later. I am not going to do it. Go away.
All right.
Apparently, I finally have a parody account. It's my long lost brother. It's a twin. Apparently, Trent has come back from the dead, and so we'll see. The thing is, he's probably mad because I haven't said much to him on Twitter. I haven't said anything to him on Twitter because I've had a couple of parody accounts before, and they only last like a day because I'm a walking parody of myself, and so they're like, "What the point? What's the point?" So I'm waiting to see how long this one lasts. Like, if you actually stick around, then.
Is that a challenge?
It'll be like the Melissa bot. But on the other hand, if you start sticking around and we don't hear from the Melissa bot, then we know you're.
Then we'll know. Then we'll know that the Melissa bot was Trent the whole time.
Yes. Oh, man. What if they're all the same person?
I think it's possible. Yeah, he's one lucky straight on Twitter. Oh, my God. How original. One lucky straight with straight spelled STR. Eight. Melissa's losing her mind.
I think yesterday chat before the update, it was sometime you were in the chat and you said something, and then right after Trent Walgamott said the exact same thing but like opposite.
Yeah,
it was pretty funny.
It's like the mirror universe of me. It's not like the bot versions of you guys are like the funny versions of you again, but it's really hard to get funnier than me.
Well, I don't know. I thought Trent's message was funnier than yours.
It's like Star Trek where they go to the mirror universe. That's what he is.
Kind of intended to be like a mirror universe of people. Like Tender Taren is like, because Taren's a robot. And then I am like emotional, maybe. I'm the Melissa bot.
Yes, exactly. Greg's in the chat. I made a Brent robot account because I talked about the fact that I didn't have a bot account. And he said I had the exact same issue. How do you parody Brent?
Again, they're like, Trent figured it out.
I gave you is that what you call figuring it out? Okay.
I don't know. It's keep working on that. So far, you've acknowledged it at this point. This is a success story.
How can
story.
I not? He types like every five sentences. Oh my God.
That's how you do it.
Okay.
It's rapid fire. Yeah,
the Melissa bot started with nothing, and now look where she is.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk.
She's
about...
on Big Brother. She has tweets featured on Big Brother.
Then we'll talk.
All right. Let's talk about these players. We'll start with Tom, our current HOH. He is the HOH. He has survived the block. He's HOH. He won the veto as well. He's starting to look pretty decent competition wise. He's starting to feel very confident in his competition abilities. Like, you know what? Maybe I can just win all of these competitions. And after he won the veto, I was like, you know what? Maybe he can. There's only five left if they go according to the previous Celebrity Big Brother formula, which is, you know, somebody will be evicted this week. We'll be down to the final six. Then there'll be an HOH and a veto. He can't compete in the HOH, so he may need to win that veto, but he may not need to win that veto if Candy or Dina win the HOH. Then at final five, he has the chance at an HOH and a veto. That's four competitions total. And then at final four, he just needs to win one competition, the HOH, and he takes somebody to the final two. As long as he makes the correct decision for the person to take to the final two, aka not Candy or Dina, then he probably wins the game. So really, he just needs to win two competitions, depending on how the other ones play out. Really not that far-fetched.
Yeah, I'm looking at the chat and I'm seeing all the numbers are all over the place. I think the correct I think the correct call for Tom is a 4. That's what I have given him before today's events. And in fact, I almost feel like he deserves a 3. But on the other hand, he is making the right move for the wrong reasons in trying to get Ricky out of the house. So I've given him a 4. Look, I think his positioning in the house is pretty terrible. He's in a situation where he likely has to win a competition in order to stay alive. Mm-hmm. Never a good place to be. And so that's bad for him. And I'm not even sure that he's smart enough to take the right person to the end if he actually gets to the end and wins the competitions to get there. He might actually take somebody like Dina or Candy just because he likes them better. Like I can see, or that it makes better TV and he doesn't want that negative energy with him. Like Tom just wants to have a good time. So I can see him doing something crazy like that and not even winning the game, even if he does get all the way to the end. So I think that the really, you know, if 5 is average and we're saying it is, I think he is a little bit below average. And I'm not setting him up as a potential buy, Mark. I'm giving him a 4, and everybody else has this information too if they want to do it. So no, I really do think he deserves a 4. Taryn, I'm curious about what you think, since you do love Tom probably out. I mean, I don't mean to speak for you, Melissa, but I feel like the chat thinks that you love Tom Green the most out of everybody. So what do you think of Tom?
I mean, do they think I love Tom the most of everyone? I don't know.
So, yeah.
I don't even know if that's true. I love Tom as a catalyst in the house. As a player, I definitely don't.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And then, you know, I don't like to speak to people personally.
You. Like his dancing and his quirkiness, like you like all that stuff. So
I like him in the house. Yeah, I'll say that. I like the antics. I think that it brings something to the show. Yeah, I mean, in terms of, again, I gave him a 2 last week. I feel like his game is very bad in a lot of places. However, the fact that he has won this HOH is so huge. And the fact that he is very good at the competitions, apparently, is also pretty huge. If we think back to, again, Celebrity Big Brother 1, Ross won. At this point in the game, Ross won 3 of the 5 following competitions. That's all Tom needs. Tom might only need 2 of the following 5 competitions. That is very, very doable. And Ross is not the most athletic person in the world. It's not like you need athletics at this point in the game. So it's really possible that this might happen. That said, I agree that I think that Tom, if he does win that final, is going to take the wrong person. I don't think he's going to take Candy or Dina. Yeah. And so I've upgraded him very slightly because I think he has a much better chance of being in the end than I did previously. But I still don't think he's going to win. So I give him a 3.
Yep. That's kind of where I said I was moving if I changed my rating. But I stuck with the 4. Melissa, how do you feel?
I'd give him a 5 because I think that I mean, I agree with you what you guys said. I think that I thought he was basically out the door, and now he's HOH and veto winner, and he's getting out Ricky. And I think, I mean, probably getting out Ricky. And if he gets out Ricky, I think he has a really good chance in these competitions, because if any of them are tailored to a guy, well, he's the only guy left. So if any of these involve some sort of athletic that seems to favor a man, he will win it. And I think that that's useful. And also the fact that now he will then have Candy and Dina both competing and probably won't put him on the block if they win. I think that's huge. So I think that there's a lot of things going for him, and I think he's making the right move this week, which I'm really happy about. However, this could all be moot because he could be the second person out the door on Friday. So it really just depends. I think he's doing better than he was last week when he was out the door. He had literally had like 1 foot out the door. I thought he might go home. I wasn't sure between him and Kato. So now that he's still here, I think he's in a better position, and he's HOH and the veto holder.
Can we just talk through Tom's prospects here for the double eviction? Because he's going into a double eviction. Mm-hmm. There's going to be 6 people. He cannot play. So there's only 5 people playing for HOH. And of the people who can play for HOH, let's assume Ricky goes home. That's a big assumption at this point, but let's assume that. So the 2 girls are in Nolo are going to possibly win. I think if Natalie wins, I think actually no matter who wins on that side, I feel like that the nominations are Candy and Tom, yep, most likely. But the problem is like Natalie could be HOH and say, I want to put Candy up against Tom and I want Candy to go home, Tamar may not feel like that. And Dina may not want to send Candy home. So she may not get her way as HOH. It might be better for her to get her way not as the HOH.
She may decide to nominate Candy and Dina in order to ensure that Candy leaves.
Yes. Well, that would be interesting if that actually happened. I was thinking also about Lolo, like what would happen if she was HOH, because I feel like she definitely would put up Candy and Tom mm-hmm. to make sure one of them goes home. But I feel like Natalie would want to evict Candy. And so then it would all come down once again to Tamar, because I know Dina would want to keep Candy. And I have to believe she'd probably want to evict Tom at that point. So that's probably his most dangerous position is if Lolo wins HOH, because I don't think that Dina and Candy would nominate him if they came to power. On the other hand, he could end up with them on the block if one of them wins the veto, because there's only six people in the house. So I don't know. There's a path for him, which is why I gave him a better rating than, say, Taryn did. But on the other hand, I don't feel super great about his chances. Again, I don't like putting my faith in somebody who has to win a competition in order to win.
Yeah. And basically, in particular, I think that this is another reason why Natalie is so key for Candy, because if Natalie leves, then we're looking at Ricky and Lolo. I think they're both definitely targeting Tom. Tamar is definitely targeting Tom. Those are three people who have all won competitions versus Candy and Dina, who haven't won any competitions. If Candy or Dina win, Tom is safe. If Ricky, Lolo, or Tamar win, then Tom needs to win the veto in order to survive. However, if Ricky leaves, then you might be safe even if Lolo wins the HOH, because what might happen is Natalie says, Lolo, no, we need to evict Candy. She's the bigger threat. And Natalie could very well persuade Lolo into targeting Candy first, and then Candy might leave. I think that Natalie has that power over Lolo. Mm-hmm. So that really dramatically changes the odds in Tom's favor and against Candy, which is why it's so important for Candy to make sure that Natalie leaves. So
right.
I think Tamar is the only person that no matter what is going to be targeting Tom at the double eviction. So important stuff to think about here for Tom's chances. The audience is also higher on Tom's chances than Brent or myself. Very nearly a six, but not quite. It's a five.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, that's okay. That's okay. I thought I told the chat I thought it was going to be like a seven or an eight. I really thought they were going to give Tom like amazing score, because he brought so much fun to this week, and it's been so interesting since he became HOH. So a five I can handle.
There's a little bit of bias in the audience sometimes, but they're not usually that crazy.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So there we go. That's Tom. He's going to average here at a four, which I think is appropriate in relation to last week, at the very least. Next up here is Candy, who in the first week that we did this had an average of four straight fours. Second week had an average of three. And this week things might be different. Who knows? I think that for me, Candy has really come out of her shell. She has improved. She has learned. She is, again, I've talked about it, she is probably the most intelligent person in that house. And I think that she has a lot of potential in this game. It, as of yet, still remains unrealized. She definitely had some success with Tom yesterday when she convinced him to get Natalie on the block. However, she needs, for that to matter at all, she needs to be able to follow through and close the deal and make sure Natalie leaves. So I'm not quite ready to go too crazy with Candy. I was thinking about personally giving her a six if she was able to get Natalie out of the house. I feel like that would have been fair and potentially go even higher if she continued to do well moving forward. However, as of right now, especially given her conversation with Tom late in the day today, where she kind of lost her patience and it seems like maybe she won't be able to convince Tom to get Natalie out, I'm a little more skeptical. I'm a little more reserved here. So I'm going to go personally with a five, even though I am a current Candy stan. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, it's like, it's hard because in this house, it's very different than any other house. So I feel like I'm grading people a little differently than I would.
It's I will say, at least I am, and I think that hopefully we will try to be doing this, that we are not trying to grade on a curve. We are trying to be as objective as possible because, sure. For one,
it's... Oh, well, it's, then I would have changed a lot of my wants. I would never have given Natalie an eight. Are you serious? Yeah. I was doing it because I was like comparing her with the other celebrities in the house and being like, okay, well, out of all these people, She's like a 10 out of 10. Well, like Candy's a 10.
Moving forward, we will try to be a little more objective because we get some great statistics out of this. And Christina Z on Twitter is fantastic with some really cool statistics. So if we're able to compare season to season in terms of like, you know, if we plopped in these people onto Big Brother 20, how would we be rating them compared to those other players? If we're objective all the time, then there's a lot more interesting stuff that we can do season to season crossover stuff. So, just in general, it's okay. I feel like it's not that crazy. It's, you know, if you've rated somebody higher or lower, it's not that big of a deal. It's statistical.
Like
anomaly.
If I'm rating these people in relation to regular players, I would have rated everyone like 2 points lower every time.
And despite that, they're still by far the lowest averaged Sockwatches we've done.
Oh, boy. OK, well, all right. You know what? But for Candy, I'm going to give her a 6 because I think that she has a really great read on the house. And also the fact that she's not willing to be dragged into everybody's drama is like huge, especially in a season like this where they're going to be watching them on the feeds afterwards. I just feel like, or maybe they won't, but they can. And so I feel like that's huge. The fact that she has a great read on the house, like, because if I was grading based on the season, I'd give her a higher rating. I'd give her like an 8 or a 9 at this point. Cause it's like, she's like the only one who's got a good read. But because we're trying to grade evenly, I guess, I giving her a 6 because I think she's doing, if this was a normal season, I'd be impressed with her reads because I'd be like, yeah, she understands like the dynamics of the house. She understands who she needs to get out next. And she's trying to like impart that on the HOH without going too crazy. And I'm appreciative of that. So I am impressed with Candy right now. And so that's why I'm giving her a 6 when last week I gave her a 4.
Yeah, I used to put on the forum that 10 was basically Dan Gieseling and 1 was like Victoria or something. I feel like I should put that back in.
Yeah, I feel like it's hard because you're looking at it in relation to the other players.
Yeah,
at least I was.
All right. Well, it's all right. We're going to be OK. Brent, what are your thoughts on Candy?
I mean, I gave her a 6 as well. I like her positioning in the house. And here's the other thing. I think that she could actually make it to the end based on bad decisions from other people, that being either Tamar, Dina, or Tom taking her to the end of the game because they think, well, I could maybe beat her. She's basically done what I've done. And they're in for a rude awakening once they get there. Although Dina, in fairness, may be able to actually beat Candy. So I actually like her positioning within the game. She doesn't have a lot of people coming for her except for Natalie. And that may become a problem because obviously there's only 5 people playing HOH. Of the 5 people playing HOH, I think Natalie's probably the person I would expect to win. But on the other hand, these are carnival game competitions and you never freaking know. So I like her positioning within the game. She seems to have a good sense of what she needs to do for the most part. On the other hand, she can't take that extra step and really play the game. Again, as I mentioned today on the live feeds, this is like week 4 in a normal season. So for those people who eventually like are recruits that come into the game and learn the game, this is the point in time where they're just starting to wake up. And I feel like Candy is just starting to wake up. So I feel like she deserves a 6 and maybe even a little bit higher. But it's, as Terrence said, unrealized potential.
Yes. So this is a very close vote here on the forum. I'm reloading the page and it's changing. It's at a 7.49 right now. Before I reloaded the page, it was a 7.5 even. I think I'm going to go with the 7 here. It's the latest update as people are still filling in their forms as we speak.
Everybody's madly going to the forum. Oh, no. I got to put a 10.
So we are in fact going to give Candy a 7 from the audience, which is going to bring her price to a 6. And man, it mattered too. I think it mattered. I think it would have made a difference there. So crazy close vote there with Candy.
Oh, I guess I gave her a 3 last week. I thought I gave her a 4. So I really jumped up. Jeez. Okay.
There you go.
Oh, Brent did too. Brent gave her a 2. Now he's at a six.
Yeah, well, she was about to be evicted last week. Remember, this is the point in time where she was sitting on the block next to Joey.
We thought she was going home.
Yeah, so I was like, you know, if she survives, maybe she could maybe do something, but she's probably gone. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, now let's talk about Natalie. Let's talk about Natalie. She's on the block. She could go home this week. And personally, I feel like even if she doesn't go home, her chances of winning the game just continue to go down. I feel like she is so unlikely to win a jury vote that I'm not even sure that she can beat Lolo anymore. She might be the goatiest goat of them all. But even if she isn't, the only person she can beat is Lolo. And that's still pretty bad, because if they lose Ricky, they're likely to lose at least one more person. If she loses Lolo, then she's definitely done. There's no way she can win. So she is in some trouble here, in my opinion. But we'll start with you, Melissa. What do you think about Natalie?
So, gosh, I just feel like it's tough, because in a normal season, I'd be like, okay, she's saying all this stuff, but she's saying it behind their back. So it's like not that big of a deal. And then she's in the game. In real life, don't talk behind people's backs. Anyway, I just felt like that sounded really bad. Anyway, so she's talking behind their backs. It wouldn't really matter in the game, because they wouldn't know, because then to their faces, at least to Tom, she was like, yeah, I accept your deal and all that sort of stuff. So I feel like she's making the right moves if this was a normal season, but this isn't a normal season. These people can see this stuff. They're going to know this. The jury is going to know what you said behind their back. And I just feel like she's, oh gosh, it's just so bad. She's not in a good position right now. I'm waffling between a three and a four at this point. So, I guess I'll, because I think, I'm going to go with a three, because I don't know if she would win. Yeah.
Yeah. I went with a three, and it wasn't even close for me to go in with a four. I mean, the problem for me is that she can't win unless she's against Lolo. And even then, as Tara and I talked about on the Lifebeat update today, given the events of the past week and specifically the past 48 hours, I don't even know if that's true anymore. She has actually caught up with Lolo in terms of bagging on other house guests and really tanking her jury chances, when I thought that she was actually doing okay. Remember, this is a girl who last week I gave an 8-2, and this week I am giving a 3-2, because her chances have taken that big of a hit. I mean, positionally, she's not in that bad of a position, because there is somebody in front of her who's more likely to go home, and I don't think Candy's going to get her way. And you know, once Tom is not eligible to play for HOH, it's Natalie and Lolo and Tamar against Candy and Dina, who've won, you know, zero competitions combined. So I feel like their chances are pretty good of making it through the double eviction. And if that's true, I feel like her chances of getting to the end are pretty good and taking who she wants. But again, she can only win against Lolo, and that's really what's weighing down her average for me. So it's got to be a three.
Yes, I decided to go with a two myself.
All right.
Because
Taryn's the mean judge.
I guess I am.
Taryn's the Simon Cowell.
I genuinely don't know that she can even beat Lolo anymore. So I'm bringing her down to Lolo level here.
The lowest low.
the audience is with you guys. The audience gave her a three this week, so okay. That's Natalie. Next up is Ricky, who also had a decently high rating previously. However, all Ricky ever needed to do to win this game potentially is not call Tom a prick.
Yep.
And here's the thing. He knows that Tom being called a prick is the reason. And he's like, I wasn't even trying to be mean. But here's the thing, Ricky. It wasn't just calling him a prick. It was also trying to force him to do stand up for you, then calling him a coward and that he shouldn't be a comedian. Like, that's also where it came from. Not just the prick thing, which you're claiming is misunderstood.
Just apologize. I just don't understand why any of these people aren't going up to the other person, because first of all, this is a game. You're going to need their vote in the end. Go up to the person. And also, like, they'll keep you in the game. So go up to the person and say, look, this was all just a misunderstanding, miscommunications. I'm sorry it got so heated and so tense. Like, I didn't mean any of the stuff that I said. I'm sure, you know, there was just some, you know, miscommunications here. Let's let's move forward, clean slate. That's all they have to do, even if they don't believe it, even if they're super pissed off. That's the simplest thing to do. And I don't understand why any of these people aren't willing to do that.
Yeah. And really, like, especially if Ricky leaves this week, it's entirely because of his behavior toward Tom. And if he doesn't leave this week, I think Ricky has a decent shot to win. I really do. I think that he can definitely beat Lolo. I think that he can probably beat Natalie, but it's going to be him or Natalie, so it doesn't even matter. But I do feel like Ricky would be in here with a shot, if not for the thing with Tom. And it's really a shame there, Ricky. So personally, I gave Ricky a 3. I think that his jury chances are better. I think that he definitely beats Lolo, but he is also somewhat likely to leave this week, and he still, I think, can probably only beat Lolo. So that's him and Tamar, who knows? Tamar would probably win, but I feel like Ricky might have a chance, so who knows? But I gave him a 3. Brent, what do you think?
Yeah. I gave him a 3 as well. By the way, Taryn, while I'm talking, I think your mic is a little staticky. Somebody in the chat, a couple people in the chat have noticed it. And actually, when I was listening to you talk there in long form, I actually heard it as well. So maybe like turn your mic off and turn it back on because I'm hearing static come through. As far as Ricky goes, I think he's the person who's most likely to go home this week. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. And I really do think that Tom is going to get his way, even though previously I said that Candy is going to, I mean, I have faith in Candy's ability, but on the other hand, Tom is the HOH and he has the veto. So it ultimately comes down to what Tom wants. And sometimes Tom can be a little bit intractable in his decisions, as we saw previously with Kato. So I am not sure what's going to happen, but I do think that Ricky is the most likely person to go home. And even if he does make it to the end, I'm not even sure he could win the game. Depends on who he's with. If he's against Tamar, probably not, given what some of the celebrities have said, although Tamar seems to be doing a good job of tanking her chances with some people. If he goes to the end with the, you know, assuming Ricky stays, then that means that Natalie is going to go home most likely. And if that happens, then he's going to go to the end with Lolo, where he certainly would win. But I mean, that's a pretty narrow road. So at this point, considering he's the most likely to be evicted and he only really has one chance in order to get to the end and win, maybe two if he goes with Tamar. But even then, I think she will beat him. I gave him a 3.
All right, Melissa.
Yeah, I'm going to give him the same. I agree with everything you guys said. He's very likely to go home this week. But if he doesn't, if there's a chance that he doesn't, I could see a situation where people would vote for him in the end. So, yeah, I'm very disappointed in Ricky. I think that at the beginning of the season, I really saw a lot of potential in him. And I just feel like he's squandered it out of like this weird, like, I don't know, like ego thing or something.
It's a dick measuring contest with Tom.
Yeah,
that's
like,
what
I
it
don't
is.
Get why he won't just go to Tom. Like I thought this whole time like that he didn't understand why Tom didn't like him. So it was like this weird tension where it was like, why does he hate me? I don't get it. And so like, fine, if he's going to hate me, I'll hate him back. But he admitted today, maybe he's admitted it before, but I hadn't heard it. He admitted today that he knows that Tom's upset because he called him a prick. So if you know why he's mad at you, go to Tom and say, hey, I know it's been this weird tension between us because of this comment I made and it was an uncalled for comment. I shouldn't have said it. I didn't mean anything by it, you know, blah, blah, blah. And get this thing sorted out because right now he's about to go home because of that one comment and he's not doing anything about it. So.
Yes. Let me know in the chat how bad the staticiness is. Because.
It's not terrible. And in fact, I don't really hear it right now, but because I didn't notice it until somebody else said something. And then I was like, oh, now I do hear it. So it's one of those things. But at this point, I don't hear anything. So
as long as it's not full on robotic, I'd rather not risk the chance of the mic not turning back on, which has happened on a live podcast before.
Really? Well, let's try that.
Yeah.
We'll take over the stock watch and own everything. We'll be in control of Denver.
Yeah, we'll give you your ratings. Taryn rates Dina a 9.
All right. Well, the audience gave Ricky a 3. Straight threes. All right. Let's talk about Lolo. We're just doing all three of them right back to back here. I mean, I think I've already explained that I'm low on Lolo, and I'm down at a 2 for Lolo. I gave her a 2. I feel like I don't think she's at a 1 because I think she might be able to beat Natalie now. And I also think that she is one of the more likely people to be sitting in the final 2 because so many people know that they have a good chance of beating her. So that's something. And I gave her a 2 because I'm still giving her a 2 and she's not in a great spot, but she's got a 2 for me, Melissa.
Yeah, I think that she really just threw away a great opportunity this week when Tom basically gave her an olive branch and was saying, hey, I mean, they had that whole heart to heart conversation where he was like, I don't want you to go home. I'd be happy if you won. Like, I want to support your dreams, whatever he was saying. And it felt like she was really, you know, she was taking that in and was really understanding it and was really receptive to it. And Tom even wanted to work with her. He was like, I think I can pull her in. I think I can make this work. This would have been the perfect opportunity for Lolo to play both sides and to essentially save herself for the next few evictions. And instead, she goes to the other side of the house and is totally misinterpreting and miscommunicating their conversation and bashing Tom, and then is going to Tom to like confront him, saying like, I'm really upset about what you said and all this other stuff. It's like, okay, you ruined it. You ruined it. Like, why would you do that? Why? So I'm totally off on Lolo. I used to give her the benefit of the doubt. Now I'm just like so off on her. I have no idea what's going on with her. Like, I have no idea what's wrong with her. Like, I don't understand how any sort of like human kindness towards her is taken as like this affront. It's honestly, it's so annoying. It's awful. So all that to say that I'm going to give her 2.
All right.
Yeah. Brent. I was the first person to hand out a 1 last week and I am sticking with my judgment. I don't think she's done anything to change that. I think she's behaved equally bad this mm-hmm. week. And if anything has done things that have compounded the way people might've felt about her before, she cannot win the game against anybody but Natalie. And even that is a slim chance. In my heart of hearts, I still believe that Natalie would beat her. I really do not believe that Lolo can win the game. I've said it previously. I'm sticking with it. She ain't going to win. It's a 1. Girl, bye.
All right. The audience last time gave Lolo a 5. This time,
suckers.
That was previous to the real nastiness that came.
Okay. All right.
This time they have fallen down to a 2.
Oh, that fills my icy little heart with joy.
So she's going to be at $2 there. Now let's move on to Tamar and Brent. We'll start with you on Tamar.
This is the one I had the most problems with. In fact, I have left, you know, I always do these ahead of time, and I left hers blank because I wasn't sure, you know, there were things that were happening up until the show went live tonight. So I'm not really sure how I feel about Tamar. Again, as I've noted, she might stumble F her way into a good position here in the end, but she's not doing it by her own design. It's just something that may happen. I think there are some people that she can beat in the game. And I think there's some people that she would definitely lose to at the end. I am heartened by the fact, if you're a fan of Tamar, I'm heartened by the fact that Joey and Kato, as I noted, have said some positive things about Tamar upon leaving the house, that she is in control of things, that they think that she's running things. Of course, as Taryn notes, she was the swing vote during one of those votes. But on the other hand, she wasn't the swing vote in the other one. Of course, she was the HOH. But look, here's the thing. I think that she is a replacement minus level player who currently is playing somewhat badly, and I'm trying not to grade on a curve. However, her chances of winning at the end are much better than 3 people who are currently in the house. And after this week, it's likely to be 2 people at the end of this week. So given all of that, I'm going to give her about an average rating and give her a 5.
Wow.
That's what I'm going to give her. I think she's who's coming for Tamar at this point? Okay. And I actually think that she may get taken to the end by one person, maybe. I don't know. That's probably the part that's the craziest. As we said on the live feed update today, she needs one, like assuming Ricky goes home, she needs Natalie or Lolo to go home at final 6 or final 5. And that way, who's ever left is forced to take Tamar to the end, and then she could win. and maybe she can get to the end with Candy if Candy decides she wants to take Tamar to the end. Of course, Candy would win in a walk. So what am I saying? So yeah. I feel like positioning wise, she's in a pretty good position because no one's coming for her. And I feel like she could win the game still. So who am I to judge? I'm going to give her a 5.
All right. I personally, looking at her end game chances, right? That's what I'm looking at here, because she probably won't leave this week. Although, as you mentioned, Brent, there is a small chance. She probably won't leave in the double eviction, but there is a small chance. But I just find it so difficult for her to get to the final two in a position where she also wins the game. I think that she can beat 3 people and only 3 people in the final two. Those people are Natalie, Ricky, and Lolo. And unlike Ricky or Natalie, who, if they get to the final two, are almost definitely there with Lolo, where they might probably win, it's very difficult for Tamar to get to the end with Lolo, Ricky, or Natalie. One of them is leaving, as we mentioned, so let's assume that it's Ricky. She gets to the final four and Ricky and Natalie and Lolo are still in the game. Then they're both going to take each other and she has to win and take one of them in order to get there. So their chances of being there are much greater than hers. If Ricky is there, his chances of being there are much greater than hers. And if she does get to the end with Candy, which I think is her current plan, which is even more concerning, then I do think she's already lost the game. She has no chance if she wins the game and takes Candy, especially if she has the option between Candy and potentially somebody like Natalie. I think she's going to take Candy, and I think she's definitely going to lose that situation. So personally, I have her right around where Ricky is in terms of win equity. I gave her a 3. Melissa? What do you think?
Yeah.
But before Melissa talks, I'm sorry. I just want to push back on that statement a little. Are we sure that she can't beat Candy? Can we find 5 votes for her over Candy? I mean, I don't know that Joey's like really thinking that Candy is, you know, is a mover and shaker in the house. I don't know that Kato thinks that. If Lolo, I mean, if she's in the finals with Candy, then that by definition means that. No Licky is on the jury, and I think they would all vote for Tamar, so that's 3 votes.
They don't like her very much, though. They've all been talking about how they feel like Natalie feels
they feel like she's getting away scot-free right now. Like, I mean, and I'm talking about Tamar. The No Licky feels like Tamar because she's, you know, because Tom's not really considering, or at least up until now, hasn't been considering putting her on the block. They feel like, number one, she's the cause of all their problems because she was the one who saved Candy. And number two, she's getting off scot-free because Tom's only thinking about putting them on the block, not her. And so she gets to basically play the middle, even though that's what she's complaining Candy's doing, is playing the middle. So I feel like they've just been frustrated with Tamar. I didn't believe they actually are disliking her right now.
I mean, they said some pretty bad things about her, but they've said bad things about most people, so that's fair.
That's their way.
But I think Ricky definitely votes Candy. I think that Jonathan and Ryan definitely vote Candy. I think that Dina definitely votes Candy. And I think that, honestly, I think that Tom and Kato definitely both vote Candy, and I think that's 6 votes right there that are definite Candy votes, let alone the other ones. So that's my personal view.
I also think, though, we have to consider, like, you know, America's influence on them and social media's influence. And I could see a situation. I mean, Tamar has a lot of fans on Twitter, and I could see a situation where, first of all, Tamar won the power that was voted for by America. Tamar has a lot of fans on Twitter. I could see them all reaching out to all of the various jurors and saying, like, you need to vote for Tamar. She's the best, blah, blah, blah. And them being like, OK, I want to keep up like a good image with America. So I want to vote for her because the people want it. And I mean, I could see that being influential.
Yeah, but I feel like Twitter would be equally in supportive of Candy. And, you know, the reasons that I said on the live feed update today why some people might want to support Tamar, other than her being utterly fabulous and great TV in the house, is because we haven't had a female black winner of Big Brother. And if she's against Candy, she doesn't even have that. So I really don't think that Twitter would be that much behind Tamar over, like, say, Candy. And the other thing too is that the final two isn't like we'll have like 4 people in the house going into the finale. So I don't know that anybody, like, there's nobody who's going to be necessarily campaigning against other people. It'll just be a sort of four, you know, you're campaigning for people. I'm sorry, I'm trying to make sense here. People will be campaigning for 4 people, meaning there'll be 4 people left in the house. And so because of that, I don't think that it will be distilled into a way that it becomes viable for people to influence people to vote for Tamar. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Also, there has been a very dramatic increase in Candy fans lately. I think that if she got to the end, there'd be a large portion of fans. We also should remember that Candy was probably third place at least in the vote, despite the fact that she was a complete non-entity in the show. She has a ton of fans outside of the game. She has a lot of people supporting her. I think that also the casual viewers are less fans of Tamar than the sort of the Twitter, you know, hardcore Twitter people. So I feel like the combination of the casual fans, who are the majority of the fans really, combined with the new invigorated like hardcore fan base that's all aboard the Candy train, there's maybe like a group of Tamar supporters left in the middle, but I'm not sure that that's enough to like really sway these jurors into like completely changing their mind, especially when I really do think they're like definite votes here for Candy. But Melissa, okay, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with everything that we've said about Tamar, and I think that she is in a good position, but is making a lot of mistakes and is basically doing everything she can to get out of that good position. I don't know why. So yeah, I'm going to give her, but I still think she has the opportunity to win. So I'm going to give her a 4.
All right. The audience barely gave her a 5. They agreed with Brent. The audience gave Tamar a 5, and I believe that's going to give a 4. Overall rating for Tamar.
Man, these ratings are so low. It's like 3, 3, 2, 4, 4.
There you go. That's the way it goes. I'm reading that my mic is getting worse. So I think
it's about the same. The fact that, I mean, you can blame me now that I brought it up. I think maybe more people are listening for it. I think it's actually, it's like 95%. I mean, okay, it's a little staticky occasionally, but it's totally fine. We'll be fine. Y'all chill. Leave them alone.
All right. So let's talk about Dina. Let's talk about Dina. Dina, in my opinion, is still just kind of trucking on here. And I think that Dina is potentially in the best spot to stay in the game until the end. And I think that there are few people that would be willing to take her to the end. And that's really her biggest downfall. However, all it takes is just one random win. That's it. And she's there. So she's got a 1 in 4 chance, I think, of winning the game. That's huge in a game where these people are, a lot of them are just, they've got no chance. And she actually is kind of playing. She's a bit of a floater, and she's able to just kind of like play dumb, and it mostly works. And that combined with the fact that she's just such a massive jury threat, not only because she had pre-existing relationships, but because she is so nice to everyone while still playing the game and being deceitful in certain ways, that I've got to say, in a game of Celebrity Big Brother, I do feel I've given her, I gave her a 4 the first week, I gave her a 5 the second week. I'm still at about a 5 here. I'm still feeling pretty decent about Dina.
I think we're all at a 5, I'm guessing. Yeah. I'm giving her a 5 as well. I think Court in the chat is like 10 for Dina Crispin. Court, if we were going to call her Dina Crispin, that would mean that she has no end game. So no, that would not be a 10. So yeah, I gave her a 5 for all the reasons you said. I really don't think we need to belabor it. She's playing about replacement level for a game of Celebrity Big Brother when you don't want to piss people off. You want to come off as nice and be personable at the end. She's got a modicum of game savvy, where she can, you know, not tell people or say, oh, I'm going to agree to that, and then go to other people and say, I told them that, but I'm totally not doing that. She's able to do that, which is a skill you need to have in Big Brother. I wish she'd used it more often, but at least she's using it now. And again, I don't think who's coming for her at the double eviction? Nobody. She may even end up on the block, but she's not going home. It's going to be either Tom or Candy if Nolicky or Tamar wins HOH. So I give her a 5.
All right. Melissa, you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I've given her a 5 every time, and I'll just stick with that.
Sounds good to me.
All right. The audience, in another very, very close vote here, gave Dina a 5. It was a 5.47. So close. Okay.
That's fair.
So close. Fair. Let's move on. Straight 5s for Dina. Let's move on to... that's it. Dina was the last one. Look at that.
Yeah.
Let's move on to no one.
Yeah. No one wants to know it.
Okay, so this is what I missed last week because I wasn't here last week. By the way, Matt Liguori, thank you for doing such a great job. So we have the prices for everybody. And so we're going to send Alexandra our list of what we want to do, our buys and sells, correct?
Correct. Yes.
And so I need to look at the board and see how much money I have and see. Here it is. Is this it? No, this is our previous ratings. I need to see what you all have as well. So when we switch to that, I'll be able to put in my stuff. Alexandra, send me a DM if you haven't already, because I can't find your. Oh, there she is. Never mind.
There you go. we will be doing that. We have some bonus questions to get to here. Okay. In the meantime, we'll do that. Interesting to note here for the ratings, we have one person above a five. That's Candy at six. We have one person at five, that's Dina, and then the rest of the players are in fact below average. Fours, two threes, and a two. This is probably going to beat last week in terms of average rating being low, which is already a historic low. So interesting thing to note there. All right, so bonus questions. I asked, what is the order of who Joey would prefer to vote for as a juror? Asking some jury questions here. Number one was Candy. Number two was Dina. Number three was Tom. And then bottom four, Tamar, Ricky, Natalie, Lolo. Not surprising here. This is pretty much
what we're thinking. Yeah, exactly. Thank you guys for actually voting for something correctly. That sounds like about right to me.
Kato. Who would Kato vote for? Tom, number one. Dina, number two. Candy, number three. And then Tamar, Ricky, Natalie, Lolo. Those four in that order once again. Then we got Jonathan, who we asked last time. Dina, Tom, Candy. Then Tamar, Ricky, Natalie, Lolo. Again. And then Ryan, Tom, Dina, Candy, Lolo, Tamar, Ricky, Natalie. Look at that. People think Ryan's a little more likely to vote for Lolo, which might be the case. Might be the case. So this week, I've been asking, how do you rate each player? Oh, and by the way, according to the audience, a Tamar versus Candy final two would currently be 4-0. That everybody would be voting for Candy over Tamar as of right now, according to how the audience views things. And I personally would agree with that. So I've been asking, how would you rate Big Brother this week? How would you rate the week in Big Brother? And I updated this question because I feel like there's a difference here. So I asked, how would you rate the episodes of Big Brother this week? What are you thinking about the episodes of Big Brother? The episodes of Big Brother got a 5.6 rating. Not super high on the episodes. The feeds.
Makes sense.
How do you rate the feeds this week? 6.4. So okay, pretty decent gap there, but still kind of low overall. I feel like it was a mixed bag. First half of the week when Tamar was HOH, rough.
Real low.
Real nastiness going on. Second half of the week, Tom is HOH. He's going crazy. We're getting some good stuff. That's a little more exciting. Candy's on the rise. It's up
Much
and down
better.
Here.
Much
and then,
better.
Yes. Overall, how would you rate the week in Big Brother overall? A 6.2. So we definitely lean toward valuing the feeds over the show. That shouldn't be surprising. But overall, a 6.2. Last week, when I asked this question of how would you rate the week in Big Brother, it was a 6.6. So it is still on the way down. I think we were kind of like on a high from Big Brother 20 of enjoying Big Brother. The first week, we rated a 7, then a 6.6, now a 6.2. So we are going down. Let's hope that the final week here of Big Brother Celebrity is going to be more fun. Then we had rank your players, your favorite players, from favorite to least favorite. Interesting stuff here. It's been Tom all the way along here. Very easily Tom all the way along. It is still Tom. Tom is still the favorite with 58% of people ranking him at number one. However, Candy has really caught up here in the number two spot. Candy with only 27% of people claiming she's their favorite player, but with almost 50% having her at number two. Her average score, Tom's score is a 6.6, Candy's is a 5.8. So very close there. Previously, Tom had been running away with it. And in previous weeks, in the first week, Candy was third to last, only above Dina and Joey. Man, how things have changed. in the, last week, Candy was second to last, only above Dina. This week, in just a week's time, she has become number two. Dina is number four. And the bottom three are Natalie, Ricky, and Lolo.
As they should be.
Yes. Yeah, makes sense. Also, to everyone in the chat who's like, oh, Melissa and Brent have totally checked out. We're submitting our Stockwatch thing.
Yeah,
so chill. It's not that we're just ignoring Taryn and being like, yeah, whatever, Taryn, talk about your like dumb survey. No, like we actually are submitting our stuff.
Yeah, we've changed the rules. Go ahead and tell them, Taryn.
Yes, this is we're submitting blindly so that we can't react to each other. This is where I'm just reading off the statistics for everyone at home. And I do want to get your opinions, though. How would you rate this week in Big Brother, Brent?
You mean the episodes or the gameplay overall on the live feeds? Or just in general?
All three.
I mean, I'm not someone who clutches my pearls so much about the trash talking that's happening in the house. I mean, I guess I'm sort of used to that when it comes to Big Brother. Although, in fairness, this is not regular Big Brother. It's Celebrity Big Brother, and so maybe I need to acquiesce myself to having a little bit more consternation about the fact that they're playing so badly in the house right now when it comes to looking for jury votes. Overall, I feel like the episodes, I agree with Rob that the episodes have been fairly good. I they haven't been great. There's been stuff that they've missed, but overall they've been pretty fun. I don't think they need to have episodes where they have two competitions in an episode. I feel like that's probably a bad idea, but I don't know. Overall, I feel like that everything has been, well, better than average. Look, even bad Big Brother is good Big Brother to me. You know, I'm somebody who sat through Big Brother 19 and had a good time. I was reminded this week that there was a point in time.
We survived Big Brother 19.
Yes. I was reminded this week by my friend, your mother on Twitter, that I was rooting for Raven at one point. I was like, I don't care how much she lies. I just like this bitch. Apparently, I said that at one point during a podcast. And so, you know, even when Big Brother's at its worst, I still have a good time. So I'm having a good time and I'm enjoying the season. So, yeah, I like it.
All right. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, if I'm being honest, I really, really not enjoyed the episodes. But this past episode where we really didn't know what was going to happen and it was kind of as if it was a double eviction, that was pretty exciting. You know, after we already knew what was going to happen, like we knew, okay, it's going to be Tom or Kato. Neither of them won the veto. Lolo won it, you know, where it was kind of like, okay, this episode's over. But the first half of the episode was really exciting and really fun. And, so I just, it's tough because like after watching this past episode, I'm inclined to be like, it's great. I'm loving it. But I'm just remembering back to the previous episodes where I was just like, not enjoying them at all. And they really weren't telling me anything that I didn't already know, and except for like, you know, colon segments and like, sorry, I'm going to keep bringing
the
that
colon
up.
It's segment just so is dumb. Just the bane of your existence. Oh,
it was so bad. And I feel like Rob is like trolling me with it. He keeps playing that little colon hurty me, no touchy or whatever. I'm just like, oh my God, stop. So yeah, that's like going to like stay in my brain forever.
Oh my God.
But yeah, so overall, this past week has been pretty fun. Last round table, like right after the last round table, we had all that drama and like the badness. And I really didn't like it. And I was about ready to be totally checked out of this season, just really hating it. And then all of a sudden it turned around. So I feel like now we've got some stuff going on. Now we're cooking with gas and I'm enjoying it. So yeah, I feel like I've turned around a little bit.
Yes. I'm still at a five personally, in terms of even just the feeds, like just the first half of the week was like a three for me. The second half of the week was like a six, almost at a five average. So I'm just not super into it. The show has not been super great for me. I'd probably go like a four or maybe a four. And then overall give it the benefit of the doubt and give it a five. So that's really where I'm at in terms of the show. I'm still hoping we have a good finish here.
Yeah. I think I also had high expectations, I think, which are not being met because last Celebrity Big Brother, I think it's an expectations thing because last Celebrity Big Brother, I went in with zero expectations. If anything, it was like negative expectations because I was like, this is going to be so bad. These celebrities are not going to play Big Brother. It's just going to be embarrassing and really hard to watch. Thank God it's only 3 weeks. And I ended up loving it. It ended up being like my favorite season that whole year, just because it was just fun and lighthearted. And I just felt like there was a lot of funny moments, and these people were like born entertainers. So they were constantly entertaining on the feeds and telling fun stories and joking around and always having something to do. And I just really enjoyed it, as well as there was a ton of strategy going on and good strategy. I was blown away. Now I went into this season with really high expectations because the last season being like, what's going to happen? These celebrities are going to be amazing. And it just has totally died, and it's just been so bad. And so I think if I went in with zero expectations, I'd enjoy it more, because I'd be like, well, it's better than zero, like it's better than a zero. But at this point I went in really, really stoked, and now I'm like, this is lame. So it, yeah.
All right. So I also asked another question. It's a new question. I said, imagine you were playing as Tamar during her HOH reign. You're thinking strategically, which two players would you want as your final nominees? So essentially, put yourself in Tamar's shoes. What do you think is best for her game? What should she have done? And the top two responses here, Natalie and Lolo. Mm-hmm. People thought she should have gone after Natalie and Lolo. The second two answers, it's not a huge margin, but a decent margin, Kato and Tom, which she ultimately ended up doing. So the audience thinks that that she should have gone after Natalie and Lolo. I'm not sure I agree with that, but it's what they think.
Yeah, no, once she won the HOH, I agree with Taryn's assessment. She had to follow through and nominate Tom and Kato. There was no path for her. I mean, her best option was to not win HOH, throw it to Kato, let him do the dirty work that she needs to have done. But she's not thinking that way. Tamar has unfortunately fallen into a little bit of the Nolicky thinking of it's the good guys against the bad guys and how bad Kato is, when in reality, it's just a game. And she's one of these people that she knows it's a game, but she has trouble separating it from real life.
Yes. I also asked, if you were Tom, what would you do? What do you think Tom's best move is? Natalie, everyone thinks that he should put Natalie up. 80% of people selected Natalie.
I do not agree.
On the block. And then Ricky was the second highest vote. And Ricky and Natalie, potentially Lolo right below Ricky. So people thought any combination of those three were really what the audience was okay with here, but mostly Natalie.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, as we said, I mean, it's not terrible to want to have Natalie up on the block, at least initially, but Tom really should want Ricky to go home. Ricky is the guy who's coming for him. Natalie's actually his one shot not to be nominated and targeted. If she wins HOH, she might actually want Candy out. So him getting Ricky up and out of the house is the best move for Tom Green's game. If you're a fan of Tom Green, you should want this backdoor plans, not backdoor, but the veto to be used and for Tamar to possibly go up on the block. I don't think Tamar's going to go home. I think that Ricky will go home in that instance and Tom will get what he wants. So there you go.
All right. I also asked, are you for or against peas? What are your thoughts on peas? A very important question. And with about 60% of the responders, people are pro pea. They like the peas. And I just want to take this opportunity myself. I've been, people have asked me my opinion on peas. I've wanted to do the research, and I just want to let everyone know that I've always been pro pea. That that's secretly has always been my opinion, and now that that we have the majority, I think that we can all agree that me as your leader of the pro P congregation here, that we can move forward. Just vote for me and as your P representative.
I'm pro P.
I can't with both of you.
You're very good.
Yeah. It's like, you know, when a politician says something and you know, oh, that's going to end up in a commercial sometime. I'm like listening to both of you going like, that's that, like that little segment just by itself. I am your P.
All about the P.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Good luck with that. Yeah.
All right. I asked, what are your thoughts on the quality of the edited episodes this season? I in particular, I know Rob has really been really pushing this idea of like, hey, guys, I know you don't like the episodes, but I feel like for people who don't watch the feeds, for those people, they're fun. I'm having fun. And so I was curious to see what people thought of this. He might be right. 60% of people said good for casual viewers, bad for feeders, with about 30% of people saying just bad. No good. So he does have a bit of a majority there. Personally, I feel like, hey, you know, Rob, you have the benefit of, first of all, being on Twitter, seeing all the stuff that's going on. Also, us telling you what's happening. So you're like, he's getting the mm-hmm. blanks being filled in. He's not exactly a casual here. The casuals that I've talked to, the casuals that have seen posts online who don't watch Follow the Feeds at all, have been like, what is happening this season?
Sounded like you were doing a Pauly Califiore impression.
Look, I started to do a Rob impression, and then Rob impression just went into Pauly Califiore because that's my favorite Rob impression. Or at least that is one of them.
That's one of my favorites as well.
so that was how the audience felt. And I also felt like, you know, Rob was saying that maybe it's because we have less time in the episodes, but we have the same amount of episodes this season. The only difference is that on Big Brother Celebrity 1, I think we had two-hour episodes, maybe three, but probably two. Mm-hmm. Can't remember exactly. We have 1 2-hour episode this time, so we're only missing 1 to 2 hours total. It's not like... on a 13 episode season, that's not a dramatic difference in time. I feel like I don't know why they're hurting for time so much when it's not that much of a difference. So it's just my opinion.
Yep. Are we ready to submit our... Sorry, I was reading the chat. That's why you can always tell when it's awkward with me because I'm like, oh, I was reading the chat. What'd you say? Sorry.
Two more quick questions. Okay. Do you prefer live veto competitions or live HOH competitions? Dramatically HOH. People don't like the live vetoes.
This was not even close. I mean, I take Melissa's point that, and I think she probably agrees with us too, that, but there was something fun about having a live veto competition because we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I feel like we really don't know what's going to happen when we don't know who the HOH is. And so it's much better for that to be live because, it's like the height of the week when we get to see who is the HOH. It determines so much, unless there's some stupid twist in play, like Battle of the Block, where it doesn't even matter, which was the stupidest thing CBS ever thought of. Okay, bye.
I feel like it's one of those things where I think it's a smart idea where if they're planning on doing an HOH that starts at the end of the episode but doesn't finish, so we don't find out who the HOH is, then do a live veto that episode or something, because then you get a live competition, whatever it is. Because I hate those ones that end on a cliffhanger where they're like, okay, find out next week, like, you know, whatever.
BBK does that shit.
Yeah, like, I hate I that stuff. So at
don't
least
do
give
that
us
shit
something.
This year.
Yeah, god. I hate it. Oh god, it's so
you know
bad.
They're going to. You know they're going to. What are you right. doing, guys? Oh my god.
Okay. finally, who do you want to be evicted this week? Natalie or Ricky? This might change. The options might change, but right now it's Natalie or Ricky, and they're probably the only two people who are really going to be going home no matter what happens with the veto. So, Natalie or Ricky, 60% said Natalie. Want Natalie to go home.
Yeah, I think that's...
You know, honestly, like, as if Ricky goes home... And then Tom's the only guy left in the house. And then if we lose both guys on Thursday or on Friday, that would be really funny. Like, literally, we've never had that where it's only women in a house. That's wild. I mean,
that's
it's
wild.
For the image
Whoa,
of
that's
it,
wild.
For the thing, like, that's pretty cool. As much as I don't want Tom to go home in the double eviction, like, it would be pretty interesting.
Yeah. All right. So let's get to the buying. I have not sent my buys or my sells to Alexandra, but that's fine. I'll just go first. That's easy way to do it.
Fabulous.
Yes. So that's how we'll do this. I've been thinking. It's been hard. I've been trying to think as much as possible as I speak.
Do you want me to ramble a little bit while look at the board?
I think I've got this. Got this. So looking at the board here, I am going to... Dina here is at $5. I already have 2 shares of Dina. I'm going deep in on Dina here. It's just a question of how many shares of Dina am I going to buy? And
so just as it currently stands, you have 2 shares of Dina, and the rest of us, me, Melissa, and Rob, all have 1 share of Dina, just for everybody who's listening right now.
Yes. Okay. So let's see here. I am going to buy 3 shares.
Three shares of Dina. My lord.
And then I am going to buy one share of Natalie at $3, and I'm going to buy
that gives you one share of Natalie.
Yes,
because you don't own any currently.
I have $2 left to spend that I have to spend.
Oh, that you have to spend.
Yes.
Sorry.
And I'm going to buy a Tamar. That's what I'm going to do. So that's going to leave me with $18 total to remaining for next week. Those purchasers are locked in. Just to explain my reasoning here, buying a lot of Dina because I feel like Dina is the most likely person to be sitting at the still in the game by next week. I have very little chance of losing my Dina shares, so hopefully I will be able to retain those and hold on to my money. And I'm loss prevention is happening right now. I'm trying to prevent any losses. Hopefully, so
why did you purchase the Natalie?
Well, that's I didn't want to go all in loss. I have one Ricky and one Natalie, and I feel like whichever one of them lives, they're going to have a somewhat decent chance of winning potentially. And I have one Lolo as well. I have one of each, so just putting them out there. So that was really it. Dina, I feel like she's definitely going to be there next week. Hopefully, she doesn't leave. If she leaves, I'm done. Totally done. So there you go. Those were my picks. We'll go. Looks like these have been filled in. So Brent, will you explain your choices?
Yes. To begin with, I had previously going into this week, I owned one share of Dina, one share of Natalie, one share of Ricky, and two shares of Tamar. I am the president of the Tamar Braxton fan club, and I have decided that I am out on No Licky. I am selling. It's a going out of business sale. I do not believe any of them will win the game at this point. So I'm selling my one Natalie share and I am selling my one Ricky share. So I'm going the opposite strategy of Taryn, where he's buying both of them, knowing that one of them will survive. I think that neither one of them will actually win the game at this point. So I'm selling those and that gives me, I don't know, a certain pot of money. And then I also was thinking that Dina might be a hot commodity. And I feel like Taryn was really going to try to cement his winning position on Dina. And I decided that I was also going to buy three shares of Dina, which is what Taryn did. So I am up to four shares of Dina because I owned one previously. I also decided I was going to buy one Tamar stock. I actually believe her chances of winning the game are okay at this point. And even though I already have a lead on Tamar, Rob owns one Tamar stock and I thought somebody else might own one. So I bought one more Tamar stock. That's the one buy that you could probably argue with that I didn't need to do. I also bought one Candy stock. Candy, up until this point in time, Candy has not, nobody's even bought one Candy stock. Nobody bought any Candy stock going into this week. And now all of a sudden she's a hot commodity at $6. So I purchased one Candy stock and I also purchased one Tom stock. I went on a buying spree and I purchased one Tom stock. So overall that gives me, let me look at the board here. I sold my Natalie and Ricky stocks. So I'm all in on everybody else. Basically, I have one Tom stock, one Candy stock, three Tamar stocks and four Dina stocks. I have the lead in Tamar and will after this week. Nobody actually is even close to me. I think Taryn and Rob each own one stock. And I am in second place when it comes to Dina. Both Rob and Taryn have decided to go all in on Dina. My God.
Yes. Interesting to note that nobody had bought any shares of Candy up until this point. Candy being the first big dramatic jump in price here. She went from $3 to $6. So anybody that bought Candy last week just made some money. made some money. But
people who play along,
it's interesting to look at Natalie's progression or regression, I guess, because she goes from a 7 to a 7 to a 3.
Anybody that bought Natalie or Ricky, you're losing money. Tom, you've lost some money here. So a lot of people going down. A lot of people going down there for those guys. And really, the only person who came close to jumping as much as Candy was Joey from week 1 to week 2. So if you bought Joey week 1, then were smart enough to sell him on week 2, which I was not, then you would have made a couple of dollars there. So
I was not smart enough either.
Yeah, interesting to note. I almost bought Candy last week, but I was like, she's not going to stay though. She's just not.
Right.
I thought she was going. Yeah, for sure. I thought she was out the door.
Yeah. All right. Melissa, explain away.
Yeah. So I sold my Ricky because
Martin,
whatever. He's probably going out the door. And then I bought a Candy and I bought a Dina stock. And I did so. Those were my only actions because I'm trying to get a little stockpile of money for next week.
Yeah, she lost so much money the previous week.
Yeah, I was like, I need to save this money. I can't just go out there until we know. I mean, we could lose someone right away in the double eviction, and I lose another ton of money. So yeah,
I'm looking at the pie chart at the bottom, and it's so funny because like Dina takes up one half of the pie chart in terms of all of the shares that have been purchased, which is amazing to me.
Yeah, Dina. Yeah, almost half of all shares are Dina shares, and that's largely because, as we explain Rob's choices here, Rob decided to spend all of his money, all $30 that he had saved up until this point. He decided to buy 2 shares of Tom to take the lead on Tom shares. It's still decently cheap there for Tom. So good. If Tom goes on a comp run, you know, Rob's got an advantage there. He decided to buy another Lolo to take the lead on me in Lolo. I almost did that, decided against it. But here we go. Lolo, he has 2 shares of Lolo. He bought one at $2. He bought one of, he bought one of Lolo. And then he bought 4 shares of Dina to tie me in Dina shares at 5 total shares of Dina, which I would be nervous about if I didn't have $18 ahead of him in my bank. So I feel good about that. In order to, we can look also here, the losses of what happened. Nobody's gained any money. We have lost some money. However, I personally have lost $3 with Joey leaving the house. I lost $3. I purchased Joey for $3 in week 1. I lost him. I've lost $3 total. Brent lost a Cato share at $4.
Yeah,
he held on to a Cato share. You bought Cato week 2, and then he was then evicted. So $4 lost for Brent. Melissa, a little bit more here. Melissa has lost a Joey and a Cato, both a Joey and a Cato. And that is, she did not buy them at the cheaper prices either. She bought Cato at, I believe, $6 and Joey at $5. So the higher price of each of them.
Melissa believes in buying high and selling low, right?
Yes.
That's kind of my thing. So,
you know, what would also be good is if we were tracking the value of our portfolio as well, because
maybe we can add that next year.
Yes.
So just to be clear, the winner of this, I'm sorry, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Because not only has Melissa lost $11 through those evicted players, but she also bought high on Natalie and Ricky, who have gone down. So she's also lost some money there, even though it hasn't played out quite yet.
Okay. Just to be clear, the person who quote unquote wins at the end is the person who owns the most shares of the winning player.
Yes.
That is correct. Okay, cool. I just want to make sure because I have won in the past. I wanted to make sure you didn't change the rules again.
No. So really, you just get as much money as you can and then go all in on whoever you think is your winner.
Yeah. So I like my position because I do not have a lead in Dina, but Rob is actually there to help me. So Taryn's going to have to decide who he wants to bet on at the end, which is going to leave me a spot, I feel like, to own a couple of different players going into the finale.
And I like this blind buying too, because we really were just who's gonna take the lead on Dina. You don't know.
Shares of Dina. Yeah. I almost did, but I thought no one's gonna buy that much, and then y'all went and did exactly what I did
for myself. Yeah. It would have been an even 20. I almost did it. But I really would have been in trouble if Dina left at that point. So I wanted to make sure I had something. Rob has lost the most amount of money, $15. He bought 2 shares of Cato at, I believe, at $6, and then 1 of Joey at 3, or something along those lines, something to get up to 15. So, yes, he has, in fact, lost. Portfolio value is there. Sorry, I didn't see that. But in terms of portfolio losses and gains is what I was hoping for. In total, Brent has the largest portfolio value at $25. But this is last week's, followed by Melissa's at 20, then mine at 17, Rob's at 14. But that's not super representative because I also had a lot more money in the bank. So I believe I had, what it came down to, I did the math before, Brent's total value was 25. My total value was 24. So we were kind of neck and neck, whereas Rob and Melissa were pretty low because they lost money and they didn't have as much in the bank as well. So
yeah. Taryn is the king of keeping money in the bank. Like every week he's like, okay, how can I do this in such a way where I have like, I spend the bare minimum, so I have the most money going into the next week. I sometimes play like that, but I don't always play like that.
Yeah. This season in particular, I've been about loss prevention because the way that this game is played out, there's no front runner at all. I think anybody can win. There are a couple people that will probably lose, but I think there are so many people that could win. I'm just about like, I'm just going to keep as much as I can until I have the most amount of information, and then I'm going to pounce. That's been my strategy.
Much money in the board because you can sell. Like, we're not penalized this year for selling like we were last year, where we only got half of our stock back. Whatever the price of the stock is, that's where you can sell it at. So I actually did get a little bit of value for Natalie and Ricky. I made like $6 back when I sold those shares. So, you know, something.
There you go. All right. So that's what we've got for you for the roundtable. Is there anything else that you guys wanted to talk about before we wrap this up?
There's something I want to talk about, which is my draft team still being untouched, because I feel like this might be the last time I get to say it. And I keep saying that, but this really might be the last time. So you know what? I might not be good at the stock watch, but I was good at the draft this year. So boom.
There you go.
Well, we'll see. You still have win.
Hey, but you know, I lasted the longest. So, you know, that's a win in my book.
I would just like to say that I have Tamar and Candy and Ryan Lochte on my draft team, and I got stuck with Ryan Lochte. Like, I didn't even choose him. He was left over for me. So I basically, the two people that I picked are also still in the game in Tamar, and I don't see either one of them going home on Friday night. I actually do think that Tom will be the person to be leaving, but you never know. So it'll be interesting to see, but I feel pretty good about my draft as well. Taryn, how you doing?
I've got Ricky.
Yay!
There you go. Might be out. Here's the thing though. People were very down on my draft picks at the start of the season. I feel vindicated in terms of like, I feel like all three choices were not that terrible. Jonathan is the biggest flop, honestly. People thought Joey would be the biggest flop, but even Jonathan was screwed by a twist. Joey, I feel like, really lived up to what I thought he could be. And then, sorry, you don't have a pre-existing relationship with Tamar. Ricky, really probably my worst pick is doing the best here. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
So there you go. Rob is, I believe Rob is left with Lolo. So he's in a worse position than I am.
Yeah.
Oh, Rob. Rob.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's right. He took Lolo like...
first.
She was first.
First off the board.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want anybody complaining to me about my first picks here when Lolo was first off the board.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I totally spaced on that. Like, I've been like, I've had a hard on for the fact that Taryn picked Jonathan Bennett first with his draft pick. I completely spaced on the fact that Rob picked freaking Lolo Jones as his first draft
pick. Yeah, not a great pick at this point.
Yes, I almost forgot. I mentioned Christina Z's statistical analysis here. You can find it. I retweeted it on Twitter. She has been analyzing the data for all of these forms. She's comparing Big Brother 20 to this current season in terms of finding that, yes, this is in fact the historic low for rating a player on average. But she also did some fancy math, correlation math. In terms of... She wanted to know, does the perceived if the players are playing well, Do you like the season more? If the players are playing poorly, do you like the season less? Is there a correlation there to enjoyment of the season with how you rate the players? Are they playing well? Are they playing poorly? And she found that there actually was a positive correlation between if the players are not playing well in the house, then you will rate the season lower. You do not enjoy the season as much. If the players are playing better, then you do enjoy the season more. She also looked for if there was a correlation between your favorite players and how well they're doing, because you can see who your favorite players are. And
so crazy.
You'd think that this would be even higher, that if your favorite player is doing well, you like it more. If they're doing poorly, you like it worse. You like it less. Sorry. She actually found that there was a slight correlation there, but not as strong as the overall value of everyone playing. So there actually isn't as much favoritism bias in terms of enjoying the season as you might think, that people actually do value strategic gameplay in the house more so than their favorite player, or at least our audience does, which is very interesting to note there. And you can see her math in all of the dots and stuff. It's cool.
So crazy. It's so cool to have like all this cool Stockwatch stuff that everyone's contributing, or not everyone, but Christina and Alexander, you know, like I just feel like I don't quite understand how they do it, but it's really cool to see.
They're amazing. Thank you again for all your help with all of this. And I'm also like Melissa, I am taken with the fact that it's not just we are doing it, but other people like in Reddit and the podcast or the Robus podcast patron group are also doing the Stockwatch as well, trying to win. And I think we have it the best over here because we only have to compete against each other. Everybody else has to compete against like 40 people. So, yeah, I like what I like what we got here.
Yeah. All right. So that's what we've got for you. If you have an idea for a hashtag, let us know in the chat. Of course, have some stuff coming up tomorrow morning. I will be live at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the feeds. If the veto will, in fact, be used, who knows? You'll find out tomorrow, probably, hopefully, at 11 a.m. Eastern. Tomorrow night, there will be an episode. We will be live to recap that episode. And then Friday night, 2-hour double eviction. Make sure you you tune in for that. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, I promise. We've, of course, also got First One Out is out. It's ready. Survivor preseason. Go for it. Island of Extinction Island, whatever the thing is. listen to First One Out.
Oh, you mean where Survivor jumped the shark?
Yeah.
Yeah.
First One Out did not, though. It was good. Check it out.
That's good.
You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. I've been playing some Kingdom Hearts. I've been checking out the feeds. I hung out with Coffee Time with Tom all day yesterday, and it was a blast. We watched Candy flip Tom. It was so much fun. So check out.
I had a couple
Twitch.
People who are wanting me to come over to your Twitch and have coffee time with you with Tom. Yeah. So. I do occasionally. You never know when I'm going to pop into Taren's Twitch. Occasionally, I make an appearance. I think you can find me, by the way, at One Lucky Gay, one spelled out, O-N-E. I am not One Lucky Straight. That doesn't sound right to say. Yeah. How dare you? I think the hashtag should be hashtag peas out.
Peas out. Nice.
Peas out. Yeah. You can find, I want to say this one because I never get to do it. You can find It's Melissa, or you can find Melissa at It's Melissa with 3 A's. And you can also you've been hanging out with like reality TV alums on, so you're like best friends with the Willett sisters now. When did that happen?
I don't know. Like I met Alex. I hung out with Alex the first time at the finale party for Big Brother 20, and then just hanging out. And
they are really cool.
Super cool. They're so cool. So nice. So fun. I've been having a great time with them.
Very cool. Yeah, actually, I was reminded by somebody on Twitter. I wish I could give her the credit. I can't remember who, but they said that this season is reminding them a lot of BBOTT, where you have like the ball smashers who are just in a room, just trying to have fun and enjoy the game, kind of like Tom and Candy and Dina are. And then you have the other side, the late night jamboree, who is just like in the bedroom or the backyard, just bagging on the other side about how terrible and miserable and chauvinistic and assholish the other side is. And who won that season again? Which side won?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, talk about the winners of the war, right? Writing the histories, right? Like, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm writing it for. In fairness, Morgan never said anything. I said that, but I do believe that's why Jason lost.
No, but like in terms of like the Willett sisters are everywhere, and
yes,
yeah,
yes,
yeah, yes, where they are.
There are a lot of.
They are on X on the Beach. And then Josh from BB19 is on the challenge tonight.
As is Morgan.
As is Morgan, a slew of other BB alums. Yes. So I'm happy. I'm gonna watch the challenge after this and have too. A good time.
Yeah. The Liz and Julia Nolan are on there.
Yes. Oh my God. The Nolan twins. Oh my God.
Be interesting.
130%. Oh my God. We have to get up the sound clips again for them. I'm so excited.
All right. For Brent and Melissa, I am Taryn Armstrong. #peaceout. We'll see you next time.